Ancient Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're going to the university again today for Witness Wednesday. We're just going to go talk to folks to see if they will have chats on the radio, and we will ponder the big philosophical questions. Let's see what sort of thinkers we have here. For instance, there's a guy laying on his back who is reading a book, So You Want to Be a Rock and Roll Star. Hey, dude, could I talk to you on the radio?
Absolutely.
That'd be all right? So you want to be a rock and roll star, do you?
Well, not particularly, but the author of the book is one of my the members of my favorite band. So
which band is that?
Semisonic.
And so you're interested, so you're reading the book. All right. Today we're out on the campus, and we're going to ask the big philosophical questions of life. You're young. You're thinking about where you're going in life, what life has in store for you. Here's our, you know, the big question that all the philosophers ask are questions like, where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going? You want to grab one of those and tell me what your thoughts are? Where'd you come from? What are you doing here? And where are you going? By the way, how old are you?
I am 20 years old.
All right, 20 years old. So you've had some of these thoughts run through your brain, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so where'd you come from? What are you doing here, and where are you going?
I don't know.
Don't know. All right, you haven't thought about it. All right, where do you think you came from?
Well, my theory on that is I'm a Christian. However, I don't... As far as evolution goes, I believe that we were created by God. But not necessarily in this form. I do believe in evolution from something else that was created by God. There are so many things in the world that can't be explained. That's why I believe in God. He's the final explanation for those things. But I'm also a scientist. I'm a chemical engineer. So I believe in a lot of things from a scientific aspect, too.
So let's just say, I'm just going to take what you just said. You believe in God because he answers some of the unanswerable questions. What if, through getting your degree in chemical engineering and through science, they're able to answer a lot of those questions? Would you still believe in God?
Well, my thoughts on that are that as many questions as can be answered by science or other things, they're going to develop further questions which can't be answered. There's always going to be something else out there that no one can explain to me.
But hypothetically, pretty much it resolves in your mind that science has the answer for stuff. Will you still have a need for God at that point?
Absolutely.
Why?
Why?
You said you're a Christian. Tell me why you're a Christian.
Christian. Well, I was raised Christian. I mean, ultimately, that's why I'm a Christian. If I wasn't raised Christian, I wouldn't have been introduced to it.
But now you're 20. You've been introduced to Islam and Buddhism and everything else, but you're sticking with Christianity. Why?
I guess it's because I haven't found any reason not to, if that makes sense. It's never failed me. Whenever times have gotten tough, I've been able to fall back on my beliefs and fall back on people who have similar beliefs and share with them on that. And I guess that's why.
All right, so tell me, what is the greatest thing that God has done for you?
He's given me the opportunity to choose my own path. He's given me the opportunity to be a scientist and believe in those things, as well as still have my faith in him.
Now, the last question. Where are you going? When you die, where do you think you're going?
I don't know. I hope I can get to heaven. I hope I can be the kind of person I need to be to get to heaven, but...
Do you think you have to be a good person to get to heaven?
Depends on your definition of good. I think you have to be... forgiven, obviously, you have to be forgiven, but I don't know.
All right, explain to me then. You said you think you're going to heaven, or I think the word you used was hopefully. Are you hope? All right, tell me what your confidence level is. Out of a score of 100, are you at a 50-50, 80-20? Where are you hovering?
Well, I've got hopefully quite a bit of my life ahead of me, so where I am now, if I were to die tomorrow, I'd say I'm 80-20, maybe a little better than that. I think I lead a pretty good life, pretty wholesome.
Okay, so I'm a little confused now, young man. You're 80-20. You think you're going to heaven. 80%, pretty good, you're going to heaven. What do you think it takes to get into heaven? What's missing? Is it like you got to clean up 20% of your act? Is that what you're thinking?
I think I should be more devout in my beliefs, but sometimes I feel like I don't have time for that, so... I guess that's my main.
So if you were, you tell me if I've got this right or wrong. If you were perhaps more devout in your faith, then you would be convinced that you're going to have, you'd be 100%.
I don't think I'd ever be 100%.
Really? Now, I got to tell you, that's a little perplexing to me because I happen to be a Christian. So I thought that you can know for sure where you're going when you die, but you don't seem to have that same confidence. Is that right?
I think at the moment before my death, I hope I'll be confident. No, I don't know. I really don't know.
So, once again, though, what does it take to get to heaven? If you aren't sure, there must be something that you must do in order to be confident that you are going to heaven. Let's say this guy is sitting right here. He came up to you and said, what do I need to do to go to heaven? What would you tell him?
Tell him to be a good person and follow the voice of God that's inside him.
All right. Let's check that out real quick. By the way, what's your first name?
I'm Luke.
Luke, like the Bible name, right?
That's where I was named from, yeah.
Okay, for like the Bible book. All right. So, Luke, you consider yourself to be a good person, is that right?
I do.
Have you kept the Ten Commandments?
More or less.
All right. Have you ever told a lie?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what does that make you? If you've told lies, what type of person tells lies?
Sinner.
Specifically, if I told a lie, you'd call me a?
Liar.
Liar, right. All right. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
All right, so what does that make you?
Thief.
Okay, have you ever looked at a woman and had a sexual thought about her that you shouldn't have had?
Yes.
All right, you know that Jesus said that if you've done that, you've committed adultery in your heart because you've lusted. You don't have to commit the act. Think about it. He's got you tagged. All right, have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
Yes.
All right, now, you die. You're standing before God to give an account for every thought, every word, every deed, and every action. He takes you through the Ten Commandments, which is what we just did. We went through like four commandments. Do you think he's going to find you innocent or guilty, Luke?
Guilty.
So are you going to heaven or hell?
Like I said, I hope and think that I may be going to heaven.
Why?
Because he forgives us.
Why?
That's what he does. He's a forgiving person.
So he's going to forgive everybody?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm going to rephrase it and I'm going to put some emphasis on a certain word. So listen carefully. You're standing before God. You're guilty of breaking his laws. In fact, let me even take it a step further. You're 20 years old, right? Would you say that this is fair? For the last 10 years, you have sinned. You have broken God's commandments 3 times a day. Would you think that's at least a reasonable number?
Sure.
Dishonoring your parents, a filthy thought, anger, etc. All right. If I do my math right, that's about 10,000 violations of God's laws. There you stand. He knows it all, every thought, every word, and every deed. Finds you guilty, as you just said. Should he send you to heaven, or should he send you to hell?
He should send me to hell.
But that's not where you want to go, right?
Really?
Clearly, right. So why is he going to take you to heaven, then, if you should go to hell?
As I said before, I think it's because he's a forgiving individual.
Now, I want to take you to a courtroom on Earth. You get busted. The police come by here for what? You can't have rollerblades on the grass here at the university. You've broken the law. They take you before the judge. They've got a picture of it. They've got you busted. And you can't read anything by semisonic. It's against the law. And you're guilty. And you stood before the judge and said, yes, I'm guilty, but I think you're forgiving, and I think you should just let me go. Should the judge do that? No, he shouldn't do that, should he? Because a judge is sworn to uphold justice. He must punish when people do wrong, correct? So why won't God punish you for breaking his laws?
It's not in his nature.
So he lets in rapists and murderers and criminals and thieves into heaven?
I bet there are some of those people in heaven, yes.
Okay.
They've converted and they've changed their ways.
Well, that's a new piece of information, all right? So tell me then, Luke. You're standing before God. You're guilty. You should go to hell. Specifically, what has God done for you so you don't have to go to hell? What has he done to pay your fine?
He died for our sins.
There you go. Jesus Christ died for our sins, to forgive us of our sins. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, right?
Yes.
Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God?
Yes.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for 80% of your sins or 100%?
100%.
Right, there you go. So you should be going to heaven, not because you're pretty good, you need to be more devout, but because you're forgiven, period, right?
Yes.
It's not about doing enough good to be there, being really devout to get there. It's just about being forgiven, correct?
Yes.
So are you forgiven?
Yes.
So you should be knowing you're going to heaven for sure, right?
In theory, yes, I should be.
It makes sense, right? Or maybe is it because your faith is a little on the wobbly side?
That's part of it, too.
What did you do to become a Christian?
Well, I was baptized. I mean...
As a child?
As an infant, yeah.
But now as an adult, have you come to the point where you've recognized, you know what, God is real, He's holy, He's the just judge of all the world, I've sinned against Him, He died on a cross to forgive me, and I need to repent and put my trust in Him? Have you come to that adult realization yet?
Yes. Yes, I was confirmed as a Catholic a few years ago.
Are you born again?
I think so, yes.
So then you should know, right?
I should.
All right, so then real quick, because I know you want to scoot, I said two things that you got to do to be made right with God. I said you got to repent, which means confess and forsake your sins, and put your trust in Jesus Christ, all right? You're confident you've done that?
Yes.
Then you should be confident you're forgiven and going to heaven, right?
Thank you.
Then you should have a better day. And if you don't know for sure, then do that. Not rely on getting more holy or righteous, but repenting before God and putting your trust in Him. And then He says He'll give you a new heart with new desires, you'll know you're saved, and you'll be found not guilty on the day of judgment. Fair enough? You're a nice young man. Thanks for talking to me. All right, see you, dude. I hope your book is good. All right.
This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org. Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. Probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. And get this. It's all free. Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free. It's powerful. And it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus. At FortisPlus.org. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted.
Books of the Bible. Exodus is the story of God saving His people from oppression and giving them an identity and an inheritance. God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, which begin with the statement, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Good deeds have always been a response to God's saving work, not a means of earning salvation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, young lady, could I ask you a question on the radio? Interrupt your studies just for a second. Three questions, the big questions of life, big philosophical questions. The questions are these. Where did you come from? What are you doing here? In other words, what's the point of life? And where do you think you're going when you die? Where do you think we came from?
I came from my mother.
All right, where did she come from?
Her mother.
We have to stop at some point. Where do you think people came from?
I don't know.
Evolved, created, big bang?
Probably.
Evolved, all right. And what do you think we're doing here? What's the point?
I don't know. Maybe there's no point.
Maybe there's no point. What are you studying, by the way?
I am reading for my English class, but I'm majoring in child psychology and education.
All right, I'll come back to that. I'm kind of curious. What would you tell a child their purpose of life is?
If they ask me that, I'd tell them to ask their mom, because I don't know.
And where do you think you're going when you die?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really think about when I'm going to die, because...
You're young.
Yeah, right. It's not important.
Right. How old are you?
I'm 18.
Did you grow up in it with any sort of religious training?
Not really. I went to church a little bit, but that's about it. Not too religious.
Why not?
I don't know, because my family wasn't.
Okay, fair enough, but now you're 18, you're getting a little bit older, and starting to think about these things at all?
Kind of. I'm going to start trying to go back to church and stuff, learning about it, but...
Why would you want to go back to church?
Because when I was younger, I went, and I want to start going again.
What do you think? So Christian, I presume, right? You say church, you must be a Christian or grew up in a Christian something or another?
Yeah.
Tell me then, what do you think is the central message of Christianity? What do you think is the important teaching of Christianity?
That I wouldn't know. I was too little to remember, I guess.
So you don't have any idea?
No.
All right. That's what you want to go to learn. All right. Would you be kind enough to let me ask you a couple more questions?
Sure.
I'll go really fast, all right? And when this will be very quick, but when we're done, you'll go, okay, I think I just learned something. All right, so here's an offer to learn something, and I won't charge you a thing, unlike everything else around here. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yeah.
Now, what I'd like to do is ask you some questions about the Ten Commandments. Are you familiar with the Ten Commandments?
Not really.
You know the story, the Moses, the Ten Commandments, written on stone. They're God's laws, God's rules. Do you think you've kept the Ten Commandments?
No.
That's a pretty honest answer. So, like, for instance, lying. Have you ever told a lie?
Who hasn't?
Fair enough. You're right, right? But people who tell lies are liars, right? You'd agree with that?
Not always.
All right, have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
Have you ever dishonored your parents?
No.
Okay, did they never had to tell you to do anything twice?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, you know, you're naughty. You're just being naughty, not doing what you were told to do. It'd be dishonoring or disrespecting your parents, right?
I guess.
All right, have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
Probably.
All right. Well, instead of, you know, letting out a four-letter zinger, you use the name of the Lord instead. That's what I'm talking about, taking the name of the Lord in vain. All right, I just asked you those questions because I think we just asked you four questions about the Ten Commandments. The Bible, don't know if you know this, that you are interested perhaps in studying, says that there is a day of judgment for everybody, that we die and then we get judged by God. If that's true, if God, who is the just judge of all the world, you have to stand before him to give an account for every thought, every word, every deed, every action, everything. Do you think he'll find you innocent or guilty on that day?
You gotta forgive people. I mean, nobody's perfect.
But again, breaking the laws, you know, that excuse doesn't work in a court of law. You couldn't stand before a judge and go, well, judge, nobody's perfect, and he's gonna let you go. If they've got the evidence that you've done wrong, that you've broken the laws, would you be innocent or guilty?
Well, I guess I'd be guilty.
Right? That's the honest answer. It's a rather unpleasant answer, but nonetheless, you'd be guilty before God of breaking his laws. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't think anybody's not, really.
I agree with you. You just quoted a Bible verse. You're right. Everybody sins and falls short of God's standard. You're absolutely right. All right? But we should figure out the whole process here, because God isn't going to let us off the hook because everybody else blew it too. So there you stand before God. You're guilty. Now listen very carefully to the way I phrase this question. You've broken God's laws, your thought life, your actions, everything. Should God send you to heaven or to hell for breaking his laws?
Well, it depends upon to what extent. Like, if it depends upon how you are as a person, like what's in your heart, not like what you did when you were 15 and stupid, you know? So, I mean, if you're a bad person, then you're going to go to hell. If you're not, then you're not.
Okay. It looks, is that the Christian organization that gave you something?
No, this is my friend. She probably put it on a flyer.
Okay. All right. Well, I wanted, again, you can do whatever you want to do with this information, but I would simply share with you that actually the Bible says, though, that when we look at ourselves to see if we're good or not, we shouldn't compare ourselves to, like, that person or that person. We have to compare ourselves to God's standard of perfection. And God's standard of perfection is the Ten Commandments. So every time we lie, he sees us as a liar. Every time we take anything, whether it's an apple or a pen or anything, he sees us as a thief. In fact, Jesus even said, if you just look at somebody and have a sexual thought about them, you've committed adultery in your heart. You just call somebody an idiot or a fool in anger, you've committed murder in your heart, because God sees the intentions of our hearts. And what he sees, the Bible describes, is something that's deceitful and wicked above all things. And that's why we do bad things. And we work our hardest to try to restrain those bad things. But at our core, at our nature, we're corrupt and we're broken and we are sinful. So if God judges and sees that, everything, I mean, just think of thought life alone. If he finds you guilty, which you confessed he would, again, the question is, should he send you to heaven or hell for breaking his laws?
Well, he shouldn't send you to hell.
Well, you know what? It's just a hard answer, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to say that. All right. But here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to explain to you what the Bible teaches, and then you can figure out what to do with it, all right? Because the Bible says you should go to hell. I mean, it's the hard thing to say, so...
I'm going to hell.
Everybody should go to hell. Okay, you hear my emphasis on should? Everybody should go to hell because they've broken God's laws. You know, some people have the impression that God's just kind of this white-bearded guy who kind of trips around heaven with a cane, but the Bible describes him as a just judge, a righteous judge, even an angry judge who doesn't like it when people break his laws because it dishonors him and it's very offensive to him. So he will punish people for breaking his laws on the day of judgment, and he will send them to a place called hell. And that's a horrible thought, because you know what hell is like. I know you haven't been to church for a while, but you know what hell is like, right?
Sure.
It's awful. Now, here's the rest of the story. Do you know what God has done so you don't have to go to hell?
No.
What do you know about Jesus Christ?
Nothing.
All right. Here's the story of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago, claimed to be God in human form, took on a human body and claimed to be God in the flesh. And he said the reason that he came was for one specific reason and one reason only. And that was so that he could shed his blood. Because the Bible teaches there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. So Jesus Christ, God himself, came to this earth and shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, so that your sins, your violations against God's law, could be forgiven. Because God will send people to hell, but he doesn't want to. And so he created a plan. He came to this earth and took basically the punishment you deserve. So instead of sending you to hell, he came and basically took hell for you. It's called the good news. The most kind thing that anybody's ever done for you is by dying for you and shedding his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Because God doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want to send you to hell. He wants you to get into a right relationship with him. He wants you to glorify him, and he wants to spend eternity in heaven with you. That's amazing kindness. So the bad news is God is just and he's righteous and he's holy and he's going to send people to hell. But he's also loving and he's kind, and he died to forgive you of your sins, so that when you stand before him, you'll be found not guilty and you can go to heaven. That's the good news. So while the painful side is you should go to hell, God desires that you go to heaven. So here's another important question for you. If it's true that God died for you, shed his blood to forgive you, forgiveness is available for you, what do you think your response to that should be? What do you think God requires you now to do?
I don't know.
Well, if I had done something really horrible to you, punched you in the nose, you know, just knocked you about the head and just was really, did really bad things to you and just beat you up, and you've been kind to me, well, what would you want me to do? What would you want me to say to you after I've physically hurt you?
I don't know, apologize?
You bet, apologize. You bet. Say you're sorry and really mean it because you've been kind and I've been a jerk. Same thing is true with God. When you recognize his kindness and how you've been living, you go, God, I'm really sorry. I've blown it. I've been living for myself, and I should be living for you, and you've been kind to me. You've provided everything for me, and you died for me, and I'm sorry. The Bible says if you'll do that, if you'll humble yourself, repent, which means to say you're sorry, to confess and forsake your sins, and if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Savior of your soul, the Bible says you'll be restored to a right relationship with God, which means you'll be forgiven, and you'll go to heaven with God, if you'll repent and trust, all right? So that is what some church is going to teach you if you go to church. That's the message of Christianity. You know, you just got a little lesson in a nutshell. That's what the Bible teaches about God's relationship with us. All right? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
You're a nice young lady. Thank you very much. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.